Okay, welcome back to another episode of Reform, Reproduce, and Reconstruct, where we will be talking about what as Christians we should believe and teach, the family, reproduction, and how we are to influence and interact with the world around us. I am your host, Jeremy Walker, and on this episode we are going to be discussing the problem of man's imagination, how some people consider abortion and birth control to be a blessing, and what is a dystopian future according to humanistic man. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. I'd like to point you to this episode and more on our website at cr101radio.com. If you want to join us on social media, facebook.com, reform, reproduce, reconstruct, twitter.com/reformreproduce, instagram.com/cr101radio, and on YouTube, search for CR101 Radio or find it on our website. Well, thank you for joining us. Another episode here of Reform, Reproduce, and Reconstruct. And I'm glad you're with us today. What we're going to be doing is we're going to go ahead and get started here. Jump right into man's imagination. And with the concept of man's imagination, we're going to be discussing, of course, the problems that it is. Man's view, God's view of man, man's view of himself, what his imaginations are, and what that is in relation to some recent events we had. It's still March here, and it's March 2020 still. Coronavirus is still scare nationwide, worldwide scare going on. And we had recently a bunch of celebrities who went on social media and took turns singing different parts of the song by John Lennon and Paul McCartney called Imagine. And if you're not familiar with that, you can Google it and look it up. Well, part of this song is part of what I want to go over with this episode here, because on Reform, Reproduce, Reconstruct, what is it that we should believe is where we're starting today. And the Bible has a lot to say about man's imaginations. And I think that maybe something that you haven't thought about, what is man's real problem and what is it his real imagination that he even hides from himself? We're not going to be getting into any psychology today, but it does have to do with that. Man kids himself to a certain extent. So let's go in through, jump right into the song by John Lennon and Paul McCartney that was being sung by these celebrities. It goes like this. Imagine that there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine that there's no countries. It's not hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Now, this goes into a lot of different stuff right here about this idea of no heaven, no hell. No countries, nothing to kill for, nothing to die for, sharing everything, no private property, no possessions, no such thing as greed because you're just sharing everything with everybody in the world. And the whole world is going to be one giant big brotherhood. That right there is the biggest lie that man tells themselves, is that man is capable of such things. Now, to go ahead and break some of these down, I'd like to go through some Bible verses. I also rewrote this version as well. Theirs is called Imagine, and I wrote one of these called Imagining a Better World, and right off the same lyrics as they have. I'll share that with you in a minute. But mankind likes to fool himself for lots of different ways. His imaginations run with him. People like imagination. People, we try to foster imagination in our children. We want them to be thinkers. We want them to be imaginative. We want them to be creative. But that's not the same thing as what we're talking here. Imagination, as far as being creative, being able to write books, fiction, being able to write stories, being creative as far as being able to create arts of work, and all kinds of other things. Imagination is a very good thing. As a young kid, I was a I love to draw, and I love to draw comics and comic characters. I had a wild imagination. I was alone by myself a lot. And so we should foster the concept of imagination and creativity. But wild imaginations in our mind that do not comport with reality, that's the problem. John Lennon and Paul McCartney's song here, Imagine, does not comport with reality. To imagine that there is no heaven and that there is no hell and there's nothing above us but sky. This already purposefully sets forth humanism, the belief that there is nothing except what we have here. It goes along with evolution. It goes along with chaos and nothing but materialism, existentialism. There's nothing here but us right now. Nothing matters except right now. The past doesn't matter. The future doesn't matter. What you do now is all that you get. And so these guys here would like you to imagine a world with no heaven and no hell. Well, their problem right there is that people do imagine that. It's called communism and socialism. It's called tyranny, where people and governments don't have anything to worry about. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There's no judgment coming. There's nobody to tell them what to do. There's no God. There's no creator. There are no rules besides what we make. Power comes out of the barrel of a gun. Authority comes out of the barrel of a gun. So you want to believe what heaven and hell or getting rid of both these ideas looks like? Look no further than the Black Book of Communism, where people were killed by the millions in these communistic and socialistic countries. Roads that lined with skulls because these people believed that there was no heaven and there was no hell. And the only thing we have is right now. And after all, who's going to punish them? Who's going to stop them? No one. Nothing to kill or die for. See, this is the idea that for some reason, if you didn't believe in a heaven and a hell and you didn't have countries, that you wouldn't kill and die for things. This is the imagination that man isn't who he is, that somehow you just can create yourself by thinking something different. This isn't really difficult to understand because right now, male and female doesn't mean much anymore in the world, and people can change their gender based on what they think they are. One minute they can be one thing, the next minute they can be something else. So through their imagination, they change the world. Once again, it does not comport with reality. Imagine no possessions. Once again, back to our concept of socialism and communism. They also would love to believe in a world of no possessions. And that's the world where nobody works, nobody does anything. There's no productivity. And no one has any responsibilities of any sorts. And this right here is the concept of socialism and for communism. And if tyranny abounds with these concepts, the fact that there would be no greed or hunger is laughable. Mankind is selfish. And this is what is so wrong with all this, because they're really imagining not the world changing, but man changing, that somehow they can change who he is in his nature. So let's go ahead to jump into what the Bible says about these things, because this song by John Lennon is the essence of humanism and the essence of self-delusion about who you are, who your people are, who humanity is, what history says about us. And so we need to tell our children, and that's part of what this is about, telling our children the truth about who we are, what we come from, what we need, what our problems are. And our problems are not religion. Our problem is a lack of religion or a false religion. Our problem is not that we have countries. Our problem is that we put our countries above our God. Our problem isn't that we aren't willing to kill or die for something, but we're willing to kill and die for the wrong things. Our problem isn't that we have possessions, but we have possessions and we want more and more and more. We don't respect the private property of others and we want to steal from them. No more greed. Greed is not something that mankind is incapable of doing. Greed can be a good thing, like covetousness can be a good and a bad thing. So there's nothing wrong with the godly form of covetousness because you want to do something and get something. And this concept of hunger, the world is definitely falling of hunger because the world is lacking morality and religion itself. So the Bible itself talks about, let's jump into Genesis 6:5, quote, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is what God says about your imagination. Your imaginations are evil. Everything that you want to do, you've become vain. Vain meaning you're selfish, you can only think of yourself. Everything that you want to do is in a breach of God's commandments, and you love to do it. And this is why God flooded the earth the first time, because man's imaginations were not those in order with God's commandments. They were not going to be able to treat other people as themselves. They were not going to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything was going to be selfish. Everything was going to be evil. their imaginations were corrupt. So John Lennon's biggest problem is that he does not understand that mankind is fallen, mankind has a problem, mankind needs a savior. Romans 1:21, quote, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Once again, mankind did not glorify God. They fell. They wanted to be in charge themselves. The vain imagination is that they can be in charge. The vain imagination is that they can make the rules. They can live in the world the way that they want to live in. They can believe that there is no heaven and hell, and it's not going to affect them. None of these things happen. The real world has consequences, and God's world has consequences, positive and negative. And people's imaginations, just because you want to think of something, you're a dreamer, you can be one too. Well, your imaginations are vain. You're not in acknowledgement with the way reality is and what God says is real. And that means you're delusional. You can be schizophrenic, if you will, as well. But in other words, you cannot learn how to properly live in the world and operate within it and function properly if you deny what God says is to be true. Now let's go to the next part, 2 Corinthians 10:5, quote, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Casting down imaginations, once again, getting rid of these ideas that do not comport with reality. The Christian's job is not to do this for other people primarily, but within themselves. And this is what we should be teaching ourselves, we should be teaching our families and our children in particular, is that our own imaginations, we are prone to all these things. It's not just the outsiders, not just the atheists, it's not just the John Lennons of the world, but it's us as well. We have to be careful about our imaginations taking over. The Bible is very clear about not to lean on your own understanding, but to lean onto God's in all things and to trust Him instead. Because we have to extract from ourselves everything that would be in opposition to God and His commandments. We have to get rid of the idea that we know better. And sadly, I talked to a lot of people, and I have in the past, and even Christians still believe that they know better or that they have a better idea than God, or that they get to make decisions or be partners with God in how to make certain decisions. And we'll get into some of this stuff in a little bit about reproduction. But the last one here is this, Psalms 2, 1 through 5. Quote, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure." Now, they're becoming, once again, imagining vain things. The heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The imagining is that there is no heaven. Their imagining is that there is no hell. Their imagining is that they can just do whatever they want. There are no need for personal possessions. Man can come together as one big brotherhood. This has been, from the very beginning, Tower of Babel and all the rest, man's goal, man against God. And man has wanted to join all people in unison against God and create a one-world government run by man. In other words, we live in God's world. He created the world, but we are going to dictate how we use it, what we do with it, and no one's going to tell us what to do. This is the vain imagination that they're going to set themselves, take counsel together, and they're going to break God's bands asunder. The bands, of course, are God's law, God's commandments, what God wants, His will for His creation, for each of us, and what we're supposed to do. And they want to tear those things off. They want to be free. You can imagine the man who is tied up with chains. You've probably seen an image of it before, and he breaks the images, he breaks the chains. Chains are flying everywhere, and he's muscular, and he's freed himself. In other words, somebody hasn't come and unlocked him. Somebody hasn't come and freed him. But he's freed himself. He's broken the own bands. He's now his own man. He's going to be his own God, his own determiner. And no fate but what we make, as we would have in Terminator. No fate but what we make for ourselves. This, of course, is the vain imagination that we can achieve this. That anything that John Lennon and Paul McCartney were talking about could ever possibly be true. Mankind cannot live together in harmony. The only thing that mankind does is destroy each other. There is no love between men. The reason why there's so much war and terror and evil in the world is because mankind is evil. His imaginations are evil continually from the very beginning of his birth. Now, you should be teaching this not because we're talking about other people out there, but we primarily need to understand it's about ourselves. And this is about what we need to be careful about, things that we would like to do ourselves, that Christians in particular, there are people who say that we don't have God's law, and therefore there's no guidance for us about what we're supposed to do. So even Christians are the ones who are saying that we need to free ourselves from the law, and we're under grace, not under law. In other words, they're trying to say as well, God has come down, saved me, sent his son to die for me because I did break the law, because I did break the commandments. But now that I've broken them, now that he's come, I'm free. But I'm not bound to now start to keep those commandments. I'm just free from them. See, that's what people mess up. The law was so important that Christ died to take your place, if you're a Christian, so that you could be made right with God. But he didn't free you so that you can continue to live in sin, as Paul says. Should we continue in sin, that grace may abound, God forbid. So the imaginations of men are evil continually. We should be mindful of that ourselves. We should teach this to our children. We should be mindful that we are very prone to straying. The Bible says that when a man thinks he's strong, he should take thought lest he fall, and pride comes before the fall. If you think that these verses are only about the heathen, be very careful, because Christians themselves are prone to the exact same thing that non-Christians are. The only thing that separates the Christian from the non-Christian is that the Christian now has a choice. We can choose to obey the commandments and continue to do that better and better. Or, like King David, you can give in to the exact same vain imaginations that you could commit adultery, you could commit murder, and that nothing's going to happen to you. That is a vain imagination. The bans, meaning I'm not restricted anymore to God's commandments. I'm king. I'm a hero. I'm top of the world. And after all, I have a woman who I want. She wants me. Why can't I do that? I'm going to get away with it. No, he did not get away with it. No one can get away with it. The non-Christian can't get away with it. We can't get away with it. David didn't get away with it. Our children will not get away with it. And we need to cast aside the vain imagination that we can get away from God in God's own world. He says here in Psalms he's going to have them in derision. Derision means somebody sitting there and laughing at somebody as if you saw something so silly, like a little infant trying to tell an adult what to do. And you're like, what are you doing? Of course you're not going to win. Of course I'm not going to listen to you. It's just pathetic. And so this is what God looks at mankind as when he's trying to rebel. And it's just pathetic. It's laughable because it's not going to work. So to end this section, I'd like to share how I rewrote Paul McCartney's song here and John Lennon's called Imagining a Better World. Imagine there's a God in heaven. It's easy if you try. A hell below us and above us more than just sky. Imagine all the people living today as if they'll die. Imagine there's more than just countries and borders. It isn't hard to do. Something to live and die for, and the correct religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace with God and man. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be under God as one. Imagine the safety of self and possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for theft or hunger. A community of righteous men. Imagine all the people living righteously in the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday that you'll join us, and the world will be under God as one. Well, that's my Imagining a Better World, and I think it's a better version of that song, getting rid of the humanism that's there. But let's go ahead and move into our next stuff. I want to remind our listeners that we do have other programs available. RushJourneyRadio.org is one of the things we work on. RushJourney, R.J. RushJourney, Russ John RushJourney, lectures, sermons, and audiobooks. We have our website, and we have an internet radio station, 24/7 internet radio, at CR101radio.com. You can listen there. You can also download the app on iOS or Android devices. We also have started recently doing live broadcast as well, and so you can tune into those as well. We also do another podcast besides this one, Preschool Pioneers. You can find that at cr101.com/preschoolpioneers, where we discuss, of course, why Christians should become teachers, give practical advice to help those who are teachers or wanting to run a school or do run a school, and, of course, talk about materials that we have available to help people do just that. Basically, we want to inspire people, we want to equip people, and we want them to get involved. Moving on to our second section here, our reproduction section. This topic was on the blessing of abortion and birth control. That sounds weird. Recently, I have came across a lot of people, and these were non-Christians, but they were talking about how they were thankful for abortion. You even have hashtag shout your abortion and lots of other people. So basically, people are proud of killing their children. And I'm a father of 11, and my wife and I, of course, run a Christian school full of children. And I've been working with children professionally for 20 years now. And the thought that some people would look at their lives and say, well, my life would be better without one of these kids or all of these kids, is basically the idea that's behind the concept of abortion and birth control, that somehow their life would be better, more fulfilled, more something or other, if there was just this kid did not exist. This would be a better world, and I would be a better person. And they would be better off if they didn't exist as well. The concept I find to be disturbing and perverted on so many levels, I really can't explain it. Because myself, I have 11 children, but I could not imagine having only one child and then not having the other 10. I couldn't imagine having 7 of them and not having the next 4. I couldn't imagine having 10 of them and then the very last one there, I just didn't have Madeline, just didn't have her. I couldn't imagine purposely deciding that I did not want them to exist. But that's kind of the concept behind both. Abortion is once life has taken root, as we would say, life began, is then the extinguishing of that life itself. We call that murder. The other side of it is the purposeful prevention of life ever coming into existence. Now, I want to share a couple things. I think the reason why this all came up because there was an article that during the coronavirus here, this is March 2020, one of the things that they were saying was essential services were going to stay open, but all non-essentials, the governors and people were closing down. Well, one of those was a Maine clinic extends birth control prescriptions for fear of a baby boom. And I'll share a link to the article and things like that. But basically, they were afraid that if people were staying home, they're obviously going to be having relations with each other, and they were afraid there's going to be a baby boom. So could you imagine? We're scared that there's going to be more children and more life in the world, so we want to make sure we prevent all of it from happening. Also, their abortion services were going to stay in force as well during all this, so anybody could come in and have their abortion, even though they're at home or out of work or whatever. You can still come in and get rid of that pesky problem you have there, according to them. I want to share something because I think it's disturbing. I don't know what your views are on it, Christian or non-Christian. I know what God says about it. God declares that life in the womb is life. It's a child. And there's no difference between the inside the womb and outside the womb. And the purposeful termination of that is considered to be murder. Thou shalt not kill. There is a case law in the Bible talking about how two men are fighting and they accidentally injure a woman. And she ends up losing her child. If that took place, then the man who started the fight with the woman's husband, he had the death penalty for having caused the death of the child. And this is just accidental. This isn't something that was done on purpose. So God's law is very clear. From the Christian perspective, there is no doubt about it. You can't have any other view beyond it. It's not about being upset about somebody. It's not about offending somebody. It's just about the cold, hard facts of reality, as we're talking about here. You can imagine all you want that that's not a child. You can attempt to say that it's not a child. But according to God, there is no ifs, ands, buts about it. Your imagination doesn't matter. What God says is that it is a child, and your job is to protect it. If you do end up with a child, then it's your job to care for it and to protect it. It is not your choice what to do with it at that point. Life can only be taken when God says so on His terms. Once again, the imagination is the idea that we can determine when life is okay to take and not take. And God says, it's on my terms, not yours. But I want to read something to you. And it's about birth control, because abortion, I think a lot of people can rally behind that because they're against killing children. But the birth control question, even among Christian circles, is one that is highly debatable. And mostly people cannot agree on it. And they say the Bible has nothing to say about it whatsoever. Doesn't talk about it, doesn't say anything about it or anything. So I want to go ahead and read something to you. I'll try to be as quick as possible. It's kind of lengthy. But I think at the end, you'll notice my point. I'm hoping to shock you a little bit. And when I came across it, I said, this is it. This is the thing that I've been looking for a while, to kind of sum up, not the non-Christian's view of abortion and birth control, but the Christian view. Things I've heard people say, even churches and denominations, and I find it really disturbing myself. But let me read it to you. And then, like I said, and we'll go through that in a minute. So, what do Christians think about birth control? Here you go. Just for reference sake, myself, from the biblical perspective, I do not see the Bible condoning such things. It's not, the womb itself is never full. The woman's body continually every month has a cycle because it is attempting to get pregnant. It wants to be filled. It is a normal thing, it is a natural thing. And so I don't see anything in the Bible that says that it is okay for you to attempt to purposefully restrict life from attempting to come into the world. And it is a purposeful cognitive thought to do so. And so let me read this anyways, and let's see what you have to say about it. And by the way, even though I do think that is the proper view, and even though I do think that the Bible completely backs that up, and I'll get into that in a minute, there is no punishment for such things. And I think that's very important for people to understand, too. It's not people being judgmental and thinking that, well, you are going to get punished if you decide to restrict your birth. Some people would agree that if a person does destroy their child, murder their child, have an abortion, as they call now, that should be something they should get in trouble for. But no one ever says anything about the other. And I would agree, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. In fact, it's mute on that, because in the Bible, there's many, many things that God says you should not either do or want to do. But if you do them, God's going to take care of it. In the case of this, for birth control, what is the problem? Well, you don't have any children. In the Bible, one of the curses is that you're going to have no children. That was one of the curses in the Bible for disobeying God and his commandments. So those people that are purposely wanting to do this, what punishment does God need to give you? You don't want a blessing. You don't want a child. Be like if I said, once again, I have five kids, but I don't want the next six. Well, that's my problem. I'm the one who's missing out on all of the blessings that I could be getting. I could be the parent of six more kids. I could be getting the blessings of raising them all as a godly parent. I could be getting all the blessings from them being raised as that and growing up and all the good things that, because if I can teach them properly and God blesses that, all the things that can happen there too. So let me read something here, and I don't think that people need to worry about God coming down with wrath and judgment about the birth control issue, but I do think this. If you want no children, or you want to be barren, when God says that that's not a good thing all throughout the Bible, not something to be desired, and that's what you want, what is it that God's going to do to you more? You're saying, don't reward me, don't bless me, leave me barren. Once again, throughout the Bible, there's been the concept of trees and things that are unfruitful. Barren things were never, ever something sought after throughout the entire Bible. You had animals, you wanted them to be fruitful. If you had trees, if you had ground, you wanted it to be fruitful. You wanted to produce something. Barrenness was never seen as something to be desirable. It's an aberration. It's a perversion in our modern society. So, I mean, there's not much I can say about it beyond that. So, if you want to be barren, okay, be barren. There is nothing in the Bible that says you should be punished for it. And be careful what you wish for, I guess. Because if you do ask to be barren, God might give it to you. I mean, I knew a very wonderful woman. She had a child, decided that she didn't want any more kids for a while, decided to wait. And then by the time she thought she was quote-unquote ready for it again, they tried to have kids, and she couldn't. And medically, they attempted to do all the other weird stuff that they can do now, and nothing would take place. And I felt very, very sad for her, because she really, really did want a child, but now her body would not get pregnant. She could not have any. In other words, God was restraining them from her. And I'm not saying it was all because of that, but I'm just saying that her sorrow was real. And when I talked to her, she said that she wished she had not attempted to wait. And I can't tell you the difference between the natural body and God's intervention, but I can tell you all life is sacred. All life is comes from God. No life happens by accident, and it's not a chemical process by just coming together, and all of a sudden you're going to get a child out of it. It doesn't work that way. And so I think that we have to be careful what we wish for. This concept should not be a controversial one, but it really is a controversial one. People feel judged because of their choices. Me personally, I want everybody to have as many children as they can, to have a full life, and to bring those little children, like I said, all my little kids. They bring the most joy into your life you could possibly have. As a parent, I didn't understand that until I had children, but there's really nothing more precious than little children, especially as you get older, like I am now. I have 11 children, I'm 39, and I can honestly say I've gotten more emotional as I've gotten older, and they're more precious the older I get and the older they get. Seeing them grow up, my oldest one's 18 now, moving into the seeking of a spouse of his own, and I'm glad I'm able to be part of that. And so I think that people miss out on all those types of things that God says is a blessing, that God wants to be part of your life. And if you're just saying, I don't want that, I think completely that, once again, your imagination is not as good as the reality of what God says. I think you should trust God, not trust yourself. He knows what he's doing. Whenever you think you know what you're doing, I think that you need to step back a second and say, well, maybe I'm wrong. If God is telling me that this is a blessing, then maybe it's something that I should want. Maybe I should just sit back and do what he says, and I'll probably be better off than if I do what I want. But trusting God is a difficult thing. So anyways, not trying to offend anybody, but we should want everybody to have the best life they possibly can. And the best life you could possibly have is not to trust yourself, but to trust what God says is something we should want, and not what you think you should want. And I think that's something you should think about if you haven't before. But let me read this through. And hopefully this might catch you by surprise. I've spent a little bit more time on this than I intended, but I get off on a tangent. This is, you know, families are very important to me, and my kids are very important to me. And I want other people to have families as well, so they can have the joy of having a family like I do, or, you know, prospectively as I do. And I just don't think there's anything more that you could thank God for than a good wife, a good husband, and a family. I mean, everything else is wonderful. Money and all that is good and all, but there's nothing that can replace children or family. So anyways, let me move on. Here's the question, and like I said, I've talked to a lot of Christians about this. I'm going to run through this, and hopefully I'm going to surprise you by the end. We'll see. So question, is birth control the right option for me? Using birth control is very common, and people using birth control do it for many different reasons. Only you know what's best for you, but good information and support can really help you make a decision that is best for you and your family, your health, and your well-being. Why do people decide to use birth control? Question. If you're thinking about using birth control, you're not alone. Millions of people face unplanned pregnancies every year. Some people use birth control because of health and safety reasons. Overall, 1 in 4 women in the United States will have used birth control up through the age of 45. So very common. Sometimes the decision is simple. Other times it is complicated. But either way, the decision to use birth control is personal, and you're the only one who can make it. Everyone has their own unique and valid reasons for wanting to use birth control. Some of the many different reasons people decide to use birth control include, 1, they want to be the best parent possible to the kids that they already have. They are not ready to be a parent yet. That's 2. 3, it's not a good time in their life to have a baby. 4, they want to finish school or focus on work or achieve other goals before having a baby. Next is the pregnancy or a pregnancy could be dangerous or bad for your health. And last one, they just don't want to be a parent. Maybe you just don't want to be a parent. And continuing. Deciding to use birth control doesn't mean that you don't want any children or that you don't love them. In fact, 6 out of 10 people who use birth control already have children, and many of them decide to avoid pregnancy so they can focus on the children that they already have. And people who aren't already parents when they use birth control often go on to have babies later. So if they don't have any, they use birth control, they still have children later. When that they feel that they are in a better position to be a good parent. The bottom line is this. Deciding if and when you have a baby is very personal, and only you know what is best for you and your family. What can I think about to help me decide? In other words, what should I think about to help me decide about birth control if it's right for me? What are some things I need to think about? Family, relationships, school, work, life goals, health, safety, and personal beliefs. People think carefully about these things before using birth control. But you're the only person walking in your shoes. And the only person who can decide whether to use birth control, the decision is 100% yours. Here are some things to consider if you are thinking about using birth control. Continue to move on from that. Number one, am I ready to be a parent? Would I consider adoption? What would it mean for my future if I have a child now? What would it mean for my family if I had a child now as well? So not just for me and my future, but my current family as well. How would being a parent affect my career goals? Do I have strong personal or religious beliefs about using birth control? Is anyone pressuring me to use or not use birth control? Would having a baby change my life in a way that I do or do not want? Would using birth control change my life in a way that I do or do not want? And what kind of special support do I need if I decide to have a baby? Moving on, decisions about your pregnancy are deeply personal. You hold the power to make decisions that are best for you in order to stay on your own path to a healthy and meaningful life. There are lots of things to consider, and it's totally normal to have many different feelings and thoughts when making this decision. That's why it's important that you get factual, non-judgmental information about using birth control. Support from family, friends, and other people you trust can also be helpful. But at the end of the day, only you know what's right for you. So who can I talk to about getting and using birth control? Well, lots of people lean on others to help them with their decision. And it's good to choose people who you know about or understanding to be supportive with you. Your local health centers has care professionals that can answer any questions that you might have. They'll give you expert care, accurate information about your options, and non-judgmental support along the way, no matter what you decide about using birth control or pregnancy. No one should pressure you into making any decision about your pregnancy, no matter what. So it's important to get the info and support that you need from people who give you the real facts and won't judge you. So when do I have to make a decision? ? It's important to take time that you need to make the best decision for you. It's also a good idea to talk to a nurse or a doctor as soon as you can to get the best medical care possible, no matter what decision you make. Now, that's rather lengthy, and I found this, and I wanted to read the whole thing, because if you have listened to anybody talk on this subject, this is every single talking point that you can possibly hit in every single Christian thread, every single doctrine, every single church, every single anything that people have about giving advice about children, this is it. The Bible doesn't have any opinions on it. The Bible doesn't say anything. The choice is yours. Nobody can be judgmental. Nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can tell you what's right for you. Yada, 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 yada. These are the exact talking points verbatim that every Christian I've ever talked to has ever said. Period. Now, before I give you my big reveal, I want to go back and do something, and we'll jump into our next section. Here are a couple things. First of all, I've already mentioned that blessings from God is being fruitful. Deuteronomy 7, 11 through 14. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass that if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware to thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine, thine oil and the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which thy sware unto thy fathers to give to thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. This is going over exactly what the Bible says. This here is the blessing from God. The blessing is everything fruitful, everything being able to multiply, everything is prosperous, everything growth, everything is good. The opposite later on happens when the Israelites, you talked about disobedience, complete opposite. You are going to be barren, your cattle will be barren, your ground is not going to produce. The complete opposite. In other words, the blessing was fruitfulness, the cursing was barrenness. When people talk about the subject, and they say the Bible is silent on it, it's not silent. It's very clear. Now, if you're looking for the Bible from time to time to say, thou shalt not use birth control, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way with a vast number of subjects. But does say very clearly, be fruitful and multiply. It also goes through what God considers to be a blessing. You can go through every single woman in the Bible, go through the historical records. Not one woman said, you know what? I just don't want any children right now. I just don't want any kids. I think right now, I don't think I want any. I want to be barren. I'm going to purposely want to be barren. That has not been the attitude of a single Christian woman throughout the entire Bible. In fact, throughout the Bible, the opposite was the case. They were upset because they could not get children. When they were barren, they couldn't have them. We're not talking having, like my wife, 11 children. If God is going to bless you in that manner, that might be the case. But it is not true that every person who does not restrict birth is going to have 11 or 20 kids. It just does not work that way. That is a complete false lie. Every single person is capable of having exactly as many kids as God wants you to have. That's a biblical perspective. There are people in the Bible who wanted children, obviously did not restrict birth rate, and only had one kid or two kids. Some had three kids. But the vast majority in the Bible, you will not even find people in the Bible who had up to 11 kids and more. It was not a common occurrence that happened throughout the Bible. And it wasn't because they were restrictive. It's just because it's just not what happened. So it's just not what people, when they say you're only going to have 50 kids if you don't use birth control. Not the case. But if it was the case, they would have loved it. That is the biblical thing. The woman's body wants to have children, and the biblical model is that women want children. To be barren was something to be completely appalling to them all throughout the Bible. Proverbs 30, verse 16, quote, the grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. So in other words, there are a couple things that are never filled up. The grave is never filled up because, of course, people are dying and keeps filling up the ground. The barren womb, as I said before, is the woman's cycle, continues to want to get pregnant again and again. That's why the cycle is there. It's the woman's body is literally trying to get to have children. The earth is not filled with water. We know that the waters go into the ground, which come back up to the mountains, so forth and so on. And fire, of course, will continue to burn. Fire never stops unless it's put out. It'll just keep going. But it puts it in this category. The barren womb is not something that wants to be barren. It wants to be filled. And then, of course, Psalms 128, 1 through 4, quote, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by thy sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You're going to have a fruitful wife, not a barren wife. If you fear God, you keep the commandments, you fear his ways. This is what he says is something that you should want and is going to be a blessing to you, a fruitful wife. That's what the biblical perspective is. I won't go into more detail because I know I spent a lot of time on that. Now, going back to all the long stuff that I wrote out, read out, about birth control, here's the catcher. I didn't write that. In fact, I didn't write any of it. Kind of like John Lennon's thing, I didn't write that, I just changed it. This here is verbatim from a website. It is from what's called, quote-unquote, a health professional, Planned Parenthood. That's right, you heard me correctly. Planned Parenthood's website is where I pulled this entire thing from. It sounds very reasonable. It has every single talking point from every single Christian that I've ever talked to concerning the subject. Now, here's the kicker, and I hope this resonates, because if you're paying attention, and I want this to resonate because it resonated with me when I first learned it, and it'll be something I will use every time on every single person. This should worry and concern Christians who hold this view, who do not use just the basic biblical doctrines to say that barrenness is not something that we should desire and fruitfulness is something we should desire. Every time that this entire write-up said birth control, like, is birth control the right option for me? And using birth control is very common, and people use birth control for many different reasons. Every time it said that, I took out the word that was originally there. I just inserted the word birth control. This entire write-up is a write-up about abortion. This entire write-up is explaining how is an abortion right option for me. Having an abortion is very common, and people have abortions for many different reasons. Why do people decide to have an abortion? I'm thinking about having an abortion, so, and you're not alone. Millions of people face unplanned pregnancies every year. Some people have abortions because of the health and safety reasons. Over 1 in 4 women in the United States will have birth control up to the age of 45, so forth and so on. In other words, this entire write-up, if you didn't hear it the first time, you can go back and play it again, is the exact talking points of the Planned Parenthood from their website, convincing people that the decision about their reproductive planning is only up to them. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. God doesn't have any advice for you. No one can tell you what to do. Only you can do what you want to do. And these are the exact talking points that they use for abortion. See, the problem here is that Christians don't really differ, if you stop and listen, which is the really disturbing part, from people who are against abortion. If I'd used abortion, people were like, oh, no, we're against that. But I used it for this, and all of a sudden people were like, well, that sounds reasonable. Yeah, I can agree with that. Because I used it, just changed the word. See, the only difference between abortion and birth control is that the people who are committing abortions were not committed enough. Listen to that again. They were not committed enough to prevent life from happening all together at the beginning. In other words, you can call them lazy to a certain extent because they didn't prevent it. Therefore, now they also have to deal with the oops, and now they have to destroy what they didn't prevent to begin with. So as Christians, and like I said, I want people to think about this on their own. I'm not telling you anything. I want you to know what the biblical perspective is. I've given you my perspective of it, meaning I agree with what I believe the biblical perspective to be. This right here should concern people because you, meaning Christians in general, are in complete agreement with the same people that they claim to despise and would like to be defunded and shut down tomorrow because of what they do. The problem is if Planned Parenthood stopped doing abortions tomorrow, they still agree with the other 90% of things that they do as far as preventing births altogether. And so it really isn't a change of values. It's just a matter of technicalities. In other words, we agree with preventing life altogether. We believe that it's our right to do so. We believe that God doesn't have anything to say. We believe that no one can tell us what to do. We believe that this is our decision and nobody else can tell us what to do, not be judgmental about it, and not do anything to sway us. So I think Christians and all people need to really stop and think about that because it's between you and God. This really is a subject between you and God. Or me and God, or my wife and I and God. It's about your family and God. So I want people not to get their hackles up when the subject comes up and really stop and ask them that question. Whose side are you on? How many of your children would be better off if they didn't exist in the world? How many? I can tell you this much. I'm glad that when I was young, my wife and I had a biblical perspective of this where we wanted to not restrict our family birth rate. We did not want to attempt, as I would say, to play God, to try to determine for ourselves what we think would be the best thing for us. But we really did, from the beginning of our marriage, stop and say, I want to put this in God's hands and see what happens. My wife and I have 11 children. We care for them with no problems whatsoever. Finances are not a problem whatsoever. And if God's giving you children, you have to have enough faith to know that he's also going to take care of your financial needs. So anyways, I know I spent a little too much time on that, but that, like I said, was a big thing for me to talk about. So I'm going to have to end this episode a little early. I didn't even get to humanistic dystopia, which I think is great. I'll have to do it on the next episode. But I listened to a podcast called Mindshift. And in Mindshift, there was a podcast they did on R.J. Rushdoony and the Christian Reconstruction Movement. It was called, the actual podcast is called Mindshift, Reconstruction After Deconstruction. So this kid lives in England. He was raised Christian. Now, of course, he's not. And now he's trying to help other people, trying to understand how to come out of Christianity and how to, well, believe that it doesn't exist. He wants everybody to imagine there's no heaven. The episode was on Inside the World of Christian Reconstruction with Julie Ingersoll. It was a great episode. They actually really did a good job on it as far as understanding Christian Reconstruction, but that's not what I want to talk about. What I'll talk about are some of the things that they thought were disturbing to them about Christianity and if Christians were going to actually attempt to properly evangelize and influence other people. So they're kind of okay if it was a personal faith, but if you are going to influence others, well, this was a major problem. But we're going to have to get onto that with the next episode because we spent way too much time on the other. But I do want you to think about that because that's part of this podcast is I do want families to really think about that concept of what it means to be a godly family. And part of that is reproduction. And you really should put some thought into it and not just go with what you think. Go with what the Bible says about it. And think about the things that I said about it as well, because like I said, this isn't about being judgmental on you. This isn't about trying to point out and say you're doing some horrible, terrible thing. This is about saying, what does God want for you? And what is actually going to be the best thing for you? What you think is best or what God says is best? So to wrap up here, I want to remind people about our book giveaways we have on Sierra101Radio.com. Click on book giveaways. We have those. We give away 3 books pretty much every 2 weeks. This time around, it's Flight from Humanity, By What Standard, and Intellectual Schizophrenia, all from R.J. Rushdoony. Go ahead and click on that. You have until March 31st, so about a week from now, to go ahead and get that done. So March 31st, go ahead and check that out, CR1Radio.com. You can sign up also for our mail giveaway, so our mail program, bi-monthly. We'll send you emails to let you know when there's new podcast episodes, when the book giveaways are going. You won't miss anything. Go to our website, CR101Radio.com, scroll to the bottom, and submit your information there. So we're going to go ahead and finish this episode out. I want to thank everybody for joining me again on this episode of Reform, Reproduce, and Reconstruct. Hopefully, I've given you something to think about. And I do, like I said, I really do want to thank anybody who's listening to this. And thank you for joining me. Until then, this is Jeremy Walker. And I want you to have a great day. God bless. And signing out.